Hello and welcome to Drilling Insight. I'm Jeremy Verduzco, host and editor of National Driller Magazine. I'm joined today by drilling trainer, National Driller writer, and co-host Brock Yorty. Welcome, Brock.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you doing?
You know, I'm pretty good today. It's a little chilly, and I'm getting used to that, and I'm hoping my my peppers and tomatoes come in before the weather really turns. So with us today also is Jim Tucci of Flowmatic. Thanks for being on the show, Jim.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
And so we wanted to have Jim on because he's kind of an industry jack of all trades. He was just named Flowmatic's national sales manager, but he's worked in geothermal, environmental, and water well drilling, even getting certified by the NGWA. In addition, he has a master's in environmental science and degrees in both physics and water resources. Given his breadth of experience, we thought he would have a lot to say about the industry we all serve. So we're gonna start with our standard opening question. Jim, did you choose this industry or did it choose you?
Well, that's kind of interesting. It's kind of a hybrid answer to that. I got into the drilling industry actually summers during college as a summer job. I knew a fellow that owned a business, and just to make some money while I was home from school, got in there, you know, kind of as a laborer, but was on a drill rig, did hydrofracking, learned pump systems as a hand and a helper. After graduation, I proceeded to some various engineering / construction type roles. And I had the opportunity to go back to that drilling company as a more of a managerial type position, if you will. So I always liked the work from day one. Even as a, you know, summer job in college, I enjoyed it. I don't know, something about it, getting dirty and working with your hands and learning each and every, on every job you went to, you learned something different. I always enjoyed it, and it just drew me back to it, and the opportunity was there to get back into it and continue along in the trade. So it's, I can't say I chose it or it chose me. It just, the cards played themselves where I ended up in the drilling industry.
Okay. Jim, your degrees are impressive, from a master's in environmental science to physics and water resources. What drove you to get those degrees? And I have a second part to that question, but was it the drilling industry these summers that you went, hey, I want to understand water resources better? Or what put you into that?
No, actually, in high school, I was always strong in the sciences and the you know, math and sciences. So going into college, I wanted to be an engineer. And I started on the engineer track and went to a larger state school and enjoyed it. But I think it was the large environment that kind of took me away from it. So I ended up transferring. Two years into college, I ended up transferring to another state school where I had a friend that attended in the water resources program, much smaller school. You know, we went from study hall or classes of 200 to 300 kids to more personal classes of, you know, 20 to 30 kids. So that being said, starting on the engineering side, I had taken 2 years of prerequisites, and now I went over to water resources, but I had all these classes I had already taken. So I said, it doesn't make sense to throw those out. So the classes that I had taken at the first school led to that physics degree because I had such a heavy concentration in physics and, you know, going towards the engineering. So after 4.5 years of undergraduate, I ended up graduating with 2 degrees, the physics degree and the water resources degree. From there, I proceeded on. I wanted more education, proceeded out to Colorado, to the Colorado School of Mines. And again, with that background, with the sciences background and the water resources background, jumped into their program, their environmental science and engineering program, which again, heavily loaded with geology and wastewater treatment, et cetera. So they kind of all just, you know, the dominoes fell in the right order to get me to that. And it's just coincidence that I had that background with the drilling. So it's kind of neat. Really wasn't planned. Again, all the cards just fell in the right spot. So
So if we're talking to young drillers, engineers, do we need this college degrees to jump into the industry? What's your advice?
To jump into the drilling industry, that's kind of a loaded question. Again, I started as a hand, as a helper, and I learned a lot, not having the background really. I mean, I was starting my geology and physics at the same time that I got into the industry, but it's always, in my opinion, it's always better to continue your education. You're always going to learn more. But also, that being said, when I was on the engineering track and even post-graduation in dealing with engineers, I strongly feel that working in the field is a whole nother level to your education. You can only learn so much from a book, and putting your hands on the devices and getting in the ditches and the trenches or, you know, welding or whatever the case, it puts a different perspective on what you learned in a book. So the education is good, but you're going to get it from both ends. You're going to get the education from a book, but you're also going to get just as good of an education by putting your hands on the devices and working in the field. And I think they both complement themselves perfect. So again, I can't stress continuing education. You know, even today, I feel that I learn something new every day. You know, I currently sit in a sales role position, but there's something I'm always learning in talking to people about applications or solving problems. And the education has to go hand in hand with whatever your career path is.
Okay. So you kind of answered the next question I had. You know, I see this strong sense of self-improvement. How do you cultivate that? Like if, you know, I'm new to the industry, I come to you, like, how do you tell people that you might be mentoring, you need to keep it up, you need to be a lifelong student?
If someone wants to advance themselves and they have a strong drive to do so, they're going to know that. And that's got to come from within. Now, you can mentor somebody and try to get them to understand that they have to better themselves in some way, shape, or form, whether it be that continuing education or extra effort. But I, a lot of it comes from inside a person. They have to have that motivation. They got to have that drive. And it's just, you know, I always enjoyed learning. Always did well in school. And you know, it just feels good to me. It's a personal thing to learn more and continue on. So it's something we can stress to the younger people in the trades. And if they have that drive, they're going to succeed.
So I have kind of a sidebar question to that before I hand it back to Brock. But I'm not sure how old you are, Jim, but when I was coming up, people stress college. Obviously, you went to college, but I feel like college was stressed over trades. And a lot of what was driving that, driving the receptiveness to that message, was people didn't want to get their hands dirty. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what would you tell someone thinking about this industry? Like, you know, is it, like, do you have to be a specific type of person to want to be out there on the rig or want to be, you know, doing this kind of work? It's tough work, you know, it's, you know, in many cases, dangerous work. Yeah. Do you have to be a specific kind of person to want to get your hands dirty like that?
To be a driller, you have to be a special person. Everybody that's listening and everybody that's in the industry knows what I'm saying. Drilling is not for everybody. Hard work, dirty work, dangerous work. I personally loved it, as do most of the people that are going to watch this podcast. It was just something about it, a sense of accomplishment. And even on the pump side, I mean, not only was I a driller, but I was a pump installer and service guy. It was a sense of accomplishment when you go to somebody's house that's without water and getting them that water. But trades in general, I believe, one, it's going to be the future. I see what's I mean, it always has been a great job, but nobody wants to do anything for themselves anymore. And I just hope, I mean, I've got three young kids, and I hope they take it upon themselves to get the education, but I would have no problem with any of my three kids going into any trade. I see what goes on out there, and tradespeople are basically going to be able to name their price in the future because nobody wants to get their hands dirty. And if that education goes along with that trade and they can understand how to run a business or market themselves, I mean, the sky's the limit for the young kids out there. And I firmly believe that that's, you know, the sky's the limit for those kids.
So Flowmatic, you know, we're a small industry and community, and there's a lot of names of different products out there. And as our industry and we gravitate to different things, tell me about Flowmatic. I'm giving you this one shameless plug right now. What's going on there? You're the national sales manager. What are you excited about? What are you guys innovating?
Oh, great question. The biggest thing probably to point out, especially to the drilling industry, is a lot of people don't realize how vast our product offering is. You know, in the water well industry, they're used to our, you know, 1, 2, 4, 6 inch, you know, drop checks down the well, maybe a couple checks on the surface. But we also service, you know, big municipal pipelines, control valves, butterfly valves, large check valves for the wastewater industry. So we are more than that. You know, I'm going to throw one out there, that 1 inch ADE, inch or inch and a quarter check valve. You know, we do a lot more than that. And something about us, though, no matter what product it is, whether it be that 1 inch check valve, inch and a quarter check valve, or that 30 inch automatic control valve, we're always looking to improve our products. And we learn from our customers. It's kind of a bummer that all the trade shows have been canceled this year, because we get a lot of input from the trade shows, from our customers, problems they've had. Problems are always opportunities, because it gives us a chance to reevaluate our products and see how we can change them for the better. One last thing I'm going to point out is, with the current world conditions and everything that's going on, we are putting a lot of effort into making the majority of our products U.S. poured, machined, assembled. You know, a vast majority of our stuff is, but we're bringing more stuff to the U.S. We want our stuff to be U.S. made 100%. And, you know, that's good. I enjoy that. And I bet you a lot of people watching this podcast are going to be giving thumbs up for that. So,
yeah. So you're in a sales role now. What attracted you to sales?
I definitely enjoy interaction with the customers. Even in the managerial position at the drilling company, you going out and meeting customers, evaluating their site, getting contracts signed and dealing with them. I enjoy that. If I were not with Flowmatic right now, I don't think I would hold my current position. You know, through all the left turns and right turns of life, I ended up at Flowmatic starting as more of a technical guy. And, again, that customer interaction and problem solving and dealing with those people are what attracted me to Flowmatic. Through, you know, upper management, seeing my potential, I've been promoted to the national sales manager position. And, you know, I appreciate them, you know, standing behind me and giving me that promotion. But if I weren't with Flowmatic, I don't think I would be, you know, have this title. It would be, I'd probably be in the field somewhere doing something different. But hey, you never know. It's a great path to be on, great spot to be in currently. So,
well, it's certainly a different skill set. Can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit about that? I mean, the gripping and grinning that salespeople do, well, maybe not now, but you know, the calling and whatnot that salespeople do, that's very different from being at the controls of a rig.
Oh, absolutely. You have to have a different personality to deal with all the different personalities you're going to deal with on a daily basis. Now, as the manager position, you know, I'm in charge of a couple different divisions or smaller divisions, and it's taken me away. I'm not necessarily making those cold calls and what have you. It's more of managing the people that do, managing our sales reps, analyzing, you know, cost analysis on our products, and working with our engineering team and the other departments within the building to get our products out there in a timely manner and make sure they're working. So definitely is a different role. It's kind of that jack of all trade, like you started the conversation with. You got to have your hands in a little bit of everything and then still answer to upper management above you. But it's more of a guidance, make sure everything's on the up and up within the company and deal with those departments, help those departments, and vice versa. You know, we're a great little family here at Flowmatic, and everybody works pretty tightly together to get the job done.
You know, I see where Jeremy went with that question, and I grew up in this industry in the field as well as a driller, you know, went and got a college degree. I found myself as a sales manager at one time with Bayroid Halliburton in equipment. And I had to oversee some customer service as well. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated all of my time in the field. So being able to translate between senior management, customer service, technical, it's a perfect spot, and it sounds like you're doing well. How do you pull from your field experience and your driller experience and help coach your sales team and your customer service team? And because you said it earlier, you know, drillers are special, but that's because they are, you know, we're self-taught, we're tribal, you know, it's muddy, it's hard work. When things go frustrating, you know, it's frustrating, and you've been there, and it's knowing who you're talking to is very important. So how do you coach your team on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You just got to be a mentor to them. Try to work great with them. I mean, like I previously stated, everybody has a different personality. So you have to deal with everybody in a different manner. So you just got to try to guide them. What I try to do is teach them how I would respond to a certain situation and let them, you know, I got to give them the opportunity to do it on their own. But I try to teach them how I would approach it, how I would handle it. How I would talk to the customer, how I would quote a job, and just hope that they can be successful in taking what my recommendations or my teachings and succeeding with that on their end. Again, each and every person's different. There's conflict here and there, but we, you know, generally the conflict doesn't happen very often, so that's good. But it's just, we got to work as a team, and that's what it comes down to. They have to understand that I'm looking out for their best interest, and hopefully they're doing the same in return.
So, hey, I had one last question. I don't know, Brock, if you have any more questions, but I have one last one. So what do you see coming up in the industry? What does it look like in, you know, 5 years or 10 years? What does the water well industry look like?
Oh man, if we had a crystal ball. I mean, I don't think anybody would be surprised by this comment that the industry has been flat for several years. You know, we went like gangbusters, what, early 2000s, and even before that, gosh. But I think it's going to stay flat for a while, but I hope that there's a lot of potential. I mean, there's a lot of work with certain organizations that are putting money more towards wells as opposed to, community systems. You know, they want wells, grants that are available for folks, and, you know, water is our most precious resource. So people can't deny that we're going to need it if we're going to survive as a civilization. So, and I just hope that we can climb again. I mean, and we don't stay flat. We need it. And hopefully we can stay away from the big pipeline and put some more wells in the ground. I say that cautiously because I sell valves to the big pipelines too, but but the drilling industry, it's going to be there to stay, but, you know, hopefully we can get some growth back to the industry.
Well, that's a great segue into my final question. Yeah, you know, we see these cycles up and down, and nothing is as big as what we saw in the 2000s when we had all of these rig manufacturers and people were gangbusters and geothermal, and we were just drilling out of control. You went and professional developed with the NGWA and got the certified well driller and certified loop installer. It's a bummer that the announcement was just made that, you know, Vegas, because we're being hygiene responsible, socially responsible, and we have no idea what the fall, you know, that's the crystal ball we want right now.
Yep.
Tell us about the process. You know, how much studying, like, throw this out to the young men and women right now that, you know, if we're going to pause again in the fall because of this crazy virus, how much professional development, how quickly could they get through studying and being able to take those tests?
Each individual is going to be different. Again, like I said, I always tested well. I always, maintained what I read, always held on to that. So it can take a lot. It may not take a lot. It's all going to depend on the individual. But if you read the books and you have the experience, it shouldn't take long at all. Now, with my tests, you know, each and every state has different licensing requirements. So New York did it through the NGWA testing. So, you know, I think we had to pass two or three exams to be licensed in New York State. So after I passed those three, I wanted more. And I think I was two tests away from being able to sit for my master's. Then again, that left turn came, took me away from the water well and geothermal. That's when I went into the environmental. And even in the environmental, I got certified. I think it was Massachusetts, Vermont, New Jersey. But again, that was more career driven. To be on the rigs, I had to have those licenses in those states. But again, it wasn't, you know, I took the knowledge that I had already learned and I maintained it and was able to successfully pass those exams. But for the youth out there, you know, get the books. If your associations are doing the classes, participate in the classes. They were a big help with the first couple that I took. And, you know, just keep at it. You'll be successful. You'll get through it. Get those licenses. And again, the continuing education is paramount. You got to stay with that.
Well, with that, I think we can wrap up today's episode. Thanks again, Jim.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we have listeners in many of the roles you've worked, so I'm sure there's something for everyone here. You know what I thought was interesting was just your commitment to education over the long term. I think a lot of folks that aren't in drilling or trades for that matter probably think of you guys as lunkheads, you know, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, you know, it's just not the way that people think about folks in the trades, that they have all of this education and can apply it and can work smart like both of you do. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was an interesting aspect. Brock, what do you think?
I admire and encourage all great companies that if they can figure out how to merge the experience from the field and multiple facets of our industry and being able to harness that and put good people like Jim into a role where they know why this gentleman is calling, because he just tripped 300 foot of, you know, pipe because something was wrong with the pump, check valve, whatever. It's a frustrating, because we're always discovering the unknown, right? So it's awesome anytime we get to see, you know, education, field experience and application, and then getting to use it with the customer service team and the executive management and the sales team. It's what's promoting, and the good companies are doing that. So that's what I like.
Yeah. Well, thanks again to Jim Tucci. Jim, where can the audience find out more about you?
I'm on LinkedIn. That's the only social media I'm on, or, you know, flowmatic.com. And any questions, you can email me, jim@flowmatic.com, and be happy to help you out.
Okay. Well, with that, we will wrap. Are you working on an interesting project or have industry wisdom to share? If so, go to nationaldriller.com/contact us. Send me an email to be considered for a guest spot on Drilling Insight. And of course, you can find fresh episodes of the show on our website or on Apple Podcasts every other week. Search Drilling Insight and hit that subscribe button. And lastly, visit our site for the latest drilling industry news. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And until next time, this is Drilling Insight.